Greetings and welcome to our study in Titus. We're in chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Titus chapter 1 finishes with this condemnation of people. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Paul closes the first chapter complaining about folks who thought they knew things, but their actions demonstrated that they did not understand truth. They didn't live the life that was in agreement with the doctrines that they were teaching. They were supposed to be God's children, but didn't live in such a way. And so what he's saying here is, as he begins chapter 2 with, is it's important to have proper doctrine, but you also must live in such a way that you reinforce that doctrine. You demonstrate that that doctrine, that truth that you believe is real and enough to change you. In chapter 1, he focuses on congregational life, that we need to live according to God in our congregational life. And he sets up the whole idea of having elders who will help direct and lead the church. But it's not enough just to have a church life that is good. You also have to have a family life and an individual life that is consistent with the things that we are supposed to understand and follow. And so he begins chapter 2 with basically the idea that unlike these other people, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. In other words, he's saying, listen, you got to teach what is truth in accord with sound doctrine. The idea is that in contradistinction to those people I've just talked about, you need to stand out or be conspicuous. The idea is that you really need to represent the life that is a part of the teaching that you're going to be making. He goes on then and says, listen, let's talk about some different groups. So in verse 2, he says, let's teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance. Older men here is not the same as the role. He uses the word presbyteros, but he's not talking about the position that he was talking about earlier of elders, but as a man older in years. And he says, let's talk to the older men and teach them to be temperate or sober, which literally meant, the Greek word meant abstaining from wine either entirely or at least from immoderate use. Teach them to be worthy of respect or grave. Teach them to be self-controlled or temperate, meaning to curb one's desires and impulses. And then teach them to be sound in faith, in love, and endurance. What he really wants is for them to have a faith, a love, and endurance that demonstrates a consistency with the doctrines that they are proposing, the things that they say they believe in. And so when it comes to your attitude toward God, he says, older men, be sound in your faith. You need to have that that idea, have a life. The Greek word means to be sound or in good health. And so when it comes to your faith toward God, it ought to be healthy. When it comes to your attitudes toward your neighbor, toward other people, then you ought to have a healthy love. And when it comes to your attitude toward bitter trials, you need to have a healthy endurance. And so this being sound in faith and love, endurance, isn't about understanding the truth about faith and the truth about love and the truth about endurance. It's understanding them in a way that allows you to have a healthy faith and love and endurance toward people or situations that require that faith, that love, and that endurance. He goes on, likewise, in the same way, after teaching older men Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but teach what is good. Much like there are three or four basic things he wants the older men to understand, he focuses on these for the older women. He says that their behavior, they live in such a way, their demeanor, which has an aspect toward all respects of conduct, all aspects of our conduct, not just dress, but in all their life. And it ought to be holy. Their life ought to be one that is set aside for God. And he says, don't, it's like the word hieropronypes comes from the idea of a temple. And so your life ought to be like a sacred place or a temple that is fitting for God. And the compound word meaning befitting men or places or actions or the things that are sacred to God or reverent. And so he says older women ought to be reverent, ought to be like a sacred place in the way they live, not to be a slanderer or a false accuser in some translations. The word is diabolos, which is the word rendered devil in other contexts. And so he says, don't be devilish in the way you speak about people. Not given or addicted to much wine is a translation from the Greek words, and literally means to be a slave of, become addicted or a slave to much wine. But instead to be teachers of good things, teachers of truth. The good things is the word, or the teacher is a didaskalos, the good teacher, teacher of good things. And we get this idea from our word didactic, from this word. And it means that we need to be, the older women need to have this mindset of teaching what is positive, what is good, not positive in the sense that it can't be negative, but it's to lead toward what is good. Teach that which leads to good things in the life and truth in the life of the people that they teach. And if they're doing that, then they can train or teach younger women to do some things. And this list is much lengthier. It starts with a couple of loves, to be husband lovers and to be children lovers. And it's interesting here that what ought to be natural, it's much more natural for wives to love their husbands and to love their children. But what is unnatural, perhaps, which is why the first focus of the older women teaching young women is to train them to love them, train them how to love them. So it's not just that you have a feeling of love, but how you demonstrate that love in your protection and your raising and your preparing. And so teach them to be husband lovers and children lovers, to be self-controlled and pure, and to be busy at home. This idea of self-control has come up in every situation. Older men are supposed to be self-controlled. Older women, not addicted to wine, are self-controlled. Younger women, to be trained to be self-controlled. Understand that what Paul is saying here is that at every stage in life, one of the most important aspects of our connection to God in the way that we live is one that we are not dominated by our feelings, not dominated by emotions, and not dominated by our desires, but instead we have control over them. We control our feelings and our desires and our emotions with our minds because they've been infected by the truth that comes through our spirit. So he says, teach them to be self-controlled and pure. I think the word pure here is a word used for chaste in other situations and other translations. Chaste and it's connected kind of to this idea to be busy at home. And one of the things that is emphasized here is this idea that in those days, especially, wives had a lot more freedom at home. They were at home during the day while the husbands were away working, running the house. They were keeping the home, and in doing so, they had control over the servants or slaves. They had control over their younger children. They had control over everything that was going on. And so what he's saying here is that you need to teach younger women to, in their daily lives, to be chaste, to be pure, and to keep their home in such a way that the word of God is not slandered. Teach them also, it says, to be kind and to be subject to their husbands. And the word here, kind, is the word is a basic word for kindness, and it really reflects the whole idea of finding or lending a feeling that is one of kindness, having a feeling of kindness, not just rightness, toward people. Though something may be right, something may be truth, deal with people in a way that demonstrates a kindness toward them. And then obedient to their husbands, the subject to their husbands. It's actually a military term of a general arranging soldiers under him that are in subjection to him. And so he's saying, listen, understand that there is a role within the house, and teach the younger women to support and encourage their husbands and by being under subjection to them. And in doing so, it says the idea is that no one will malign the word of God. What they want to make sure of is that when people see a Christian young woman, a young mother, that it isn't in contradiction to the teachings that they're making, that the church stands for. And so he puts these teachings in, and then in verse 6, he turns to young men. It makes it very brief, but it's all encompassing. Similarly, encourage young men to be self-controlled. And basically what he's saying is, again, here's the self-control, but basically all the things he said about older women, older men, is true for younger men. And really the basic things he's saying about older women and younger women are true for the young men also, to be self-controlled. And similarly, encourage young men to be self-controlled. In everything, and he's tying Timothy here because he considers Timothy a young man. So Timothy, demonstrate what that looks like. Set an example by doing what is good. Again, there's this idea that it's not enough to say and to tell what is good, but to set an example by doing what is good. So in your teaching, show. It's not just in your teaching, prove, but in your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. And so he's saying, Timothy, make sure that you show in your teaching integrity, the idea of truthfulness and trustworthiness, and the idea of your word stands for things, and so you can be counted on and depended upon. Seriousness, that you're someone who is taking things seriously, that it matters, and so you are one that can be trusted because you are serious about this and not haphazardly throwing away opportunities or situations. And soundness of speech, it cannot be condemned, that you are not flippant with what you say and what you share. And what he's saying here is, this is an example to what young men are supposed to be like. And these men who are supposed, that have the lesser in terms of amounts of things said about them, but greater in the sense that he's saying, like you, these young men are supposed to show integrity and seriousness and soundness of speech. Again, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. And so what Paul is tying this to is two things. One, he's tying life actions to our doctrine. It's not enough to know what's right, but you have to live what you believe. And number two, do it in a way so that those who oppose you or those that would malign the word of God cannot, because you aren't being hypocritical, saying one thing and living another. You're not being hurtful by believing truth, but being harsh or hard or mean about it. But instead, you're winning people over by the way that you interpret and share and live truth, and you're consistent. So there's no reason for them to look for a reason to say, it's absolutely not the case. And so he really starts with this emphasis on basically older men and women, younger women and younger men, and really wants to emphasize this need to live in your families, in your relationships, in your individual situations, in your communities, in such a way that the word of God is demonstrated, supported, and encouraged. He gets into one more, and then the big theological point in chapter two. We'll save that for our next lesson. So until then, remember to live to please God. And I look forward to sharing this class with you soon.